Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, everybody. It's the last H and J Daily without H or J. It's R and B for the final time. Charlie, what are we putting in the show?
We're putting in Max Chilton. He came in. He's used to be a Formula One driver, now drives Indy cars in America. So we're going to talk to him. Who else are we talking to, Max? Todd Macklin. Yeah. Todd Macklin, the American sports roundup. Seems to be a lot of eating stuff. Didn't it? And Martin Kellner with his gold, with his 10 minutes of solid gold.
Yeah. So, here it is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie. Good
afternoon, Max. We want those clips, don't we? Because people might have missed Paul and Andy for the last couple of weeks.
It's possible.
Put together. We don't want them to miss clips of the week as well.
No, no. So that music is a wonderful moment, isn't it? That's where the weekend starts.
The weekend starts right here. So yeah, if you've got a favourite clip of the week... We know the Bob Monkhouse one. We'll probably put that one in for you anyway.
It's quite long, isn't it?
So if you've got any other favourites, do get in touch at 1089. What, 1089? What's the other ways to get in touch, Max?
Well, you should know.
I don't know. Is that Twitter? Is
it? Yes.
At TalkSport?
Well, at TSHJ. Okay, At Max Rushton is the easiest one.
Try and drive people towards your social medias. Yeah. Yeah, at Charlie Baker, comedian on Instagram. I mean, you can take a picture of it.
I'm just here for the followers. That's what I want to
do. That's all it is, yes.
So, yeah, and I might play... I've played them before, but a couple of mistakes that have not passed the Clips of the Week criteria.
No.
But still... make us laugh.
Very difficult door, isn't it? It's like a big bouncer on the door of Clips of the Week.
Well, it's about self-aware. If you make the mistake, if you realise you've made the mistake, Paul and Andy don't see that as a pure clip.
Or if you've done it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Which some people do. I mean,
some people
terrible.
Do these jokes on purpose.
Some people try and...
Some people litter a show with one-liners, hoping to catch people out.
Could I say a very good afternoon to Dean Kiley, the goalkeeper coach for Crystal Palace?
You absolutely can.
Thank you very much. He came to my show last night. I didn't know he was there.
Right,
but he messaged me on Twitter afterwards that he enjoyed the show. Okay. Thank you very much, Dean. I wish you luck on Saturday in the Brighton Derby, the Gatwick Derby.
Can I say a very good afternoon to Tim Flowers?
Go for it.
Good afternoon, Tim Flowers. No reason I didn't see him last night.
Longer manager of Solihull Moors, of course, at Damson Park.
Yeah, whatever you're up to, Tim. Good afternoon. Any other keepers you want to?
I like the keeper, Bobby Olesnik.
Okay.
I think he's now at Mansfield.
Oh, right, okay.
Good afternoon to him. If anyone wants to say good afternoon to a keeper, do let us know at 1089.
So it says good afternoon to John Vaughan. Used to play for Cambridge in the glory years. Quite short. Didn't have any front teeth.
Did he?
Great goalkeeper he was.
Lovely.
Super John Vaughan.
I took
some notes on the football from last night.
Okay, lovely.
Arsenal.
I've watched highlights, Max, because I was working.
That's fine. I think Arsenal were a bit unlucky because I think Barr should have been sent off in the 20th minute.
Okay.
It was a professional foul and it was outside the area. I think that should have been a red card. The marking for the first goal, I said, is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
The Aubameyang miss.
Oof.
I was watching it and I couldn't believe the net didn't bulge. I was staring at it thinking, I think that's gone through the goal. He can't have missed that. As we said in the meeting, I reckon 7 out of 10 times, if it was like Quantum Leap and I was just put into the body of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, I reckon 7 out of 10 I'd have scored that.
Would you?
I really do, and I'm not.
So you're inside Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yeah, I'm saying, oh boy, there it is. There's a 70% shot. Ziggy
says, "You put it." It was the right ball to the right player, wasn't it? And you expect it to go in, bang in the back of there.
And the thing is,
perhaps it was rising a bit. Perhaps that's what put him off a bit. And it's a pressure situation, isn't it?
Yeah. And maybe. And I mean, the thing is, as well, is he had got them back into the game with that absolutely amazing finish. Mm. Right? Aubameyang is clearly not the problem at Arsenal. They do everything to keep him, but I will talk to Darren Lewis in a
bit. It's never over till it's over. That's like, it's almost like England beating New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup. They thought they'd done it. They thought they'd won it. And maybe Pierre thought, you know what? I've done this. I've won the game. And then they got back and disaster.
Yeah. Look, Wolves are through, aren't they? I'm a huge fan of Adama Traore's social media posts.
Okay, yeah.
You know how footballers always go, hashtag, we go again. We go great again. Fight. The lads were magnificent. We did it all for the fans. He just said, we are now into the Europa League last 16.
Lovely.
It's factual. It's like what it says on the tin.
Like a tweet from the 50s.
It's really isn't good, isn't it?
Just 50s there. Twitter.
I'm here for Adama Traore just giving us facts. I played for 72 minutes yesterday. That's what I wanted to do. And United played well, didn't they? I mean, before the sending off, it was a pretty even game, actually. Both sides had lots of chances. But the handball by Dele, what's he do? Like, it's like spider keepers. It's like when you played when you were six and you were just spider keepers, anyone can save it. Like Mignolet is doing Mignolet, who's been having a good game. It wasn't like lack of faith in Mignolet, or it shouldn't have been, because he's behind him doing exactly the same movement, but obviously Dele's in front of him, but shouldn't have handled it. I don't know why the referee looked at the monitor for 5 minutes,
but no one ever knows why they handball it, do they? It just pops up.
It's just
the hand just pops up, doesn't it? Do you think Arsenal will they be that bothered, Max? If Arsenal are really, really trying to win the Europa League, are Arsenal the old Arsenal that we know and love? Shouldn't they be aiming higher than that? You know, isn't it sort of, okay, well, we're out of that, so well we can concentrate on coming fourth now.
Well, you can only, you can only play in the competition you're in. I think we'll talk to Darren Lewis in a minute.
Sure.
I see your point. I saw Nick Ames from The Guardian tweeting this is a disaster, and I was thinking, it is, it's good to win. I suppose the point being, they could have won the tournament. That gets you into the Champions League. That's it. I also want to mention, I don't think we're covering it in the show, but have you seen the Chinese swimmer? Sun Yang, who is, an absolute superstar in China, being given a maximum eight-year ban by CAS, not Tony Cascarino, by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. After one of his entourage...
Tony Cascarino gave a 12-year ban.
Fair enough.
He's a bit harsher.
An eight-year ban after one of his entourage smashed his blood vial with a hammer during an attempted drugs test.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's quite a hard one to argue. Who left it on the Black & Decker workbench? I was just doing some DIY and I smashed the vial of blood you needed. Madness.
Yeah, when people run away from it, it does look like super guilty, doesn't it? I smashed it.
Wait, dude, he's just there, he's like hungry hippos. All the vials are there and he's just going, let's get them all quickly before they can take them.
Hellos to some goalkeepers have just come in early. Sorry, Max, I know we're going to keep on. Hello to Joe Murphy, the Scunthorpe legend. That's Trevor from Brigg. Yeah. And can I say hello to Steve Cherry, Notts County goalkeeper in the early 90s. That's Liam in Oxford. So lovely, let us know.
Dan says, big hello to UC Jaskalainen. Your son is playing great for Crewe. This is nice.
Isn't it? Saying hello to goalkeepers is an unexpected feature today.
Okay, so we'll carry that on. Misses that still haunt you. Okay, this is from Kev. He says, Kev_AFC, putting a losing penalty so far over the bar for Solihull Moors in a shootout against Tipton Town. Oh. It cleared the stand and set a car alarm off. Oh. You can imagine it, the agony and embarrassment.
The hell is going on at Solihull Moors?
It goes over the bar and then you just hear bang.
There's a very good thing with Josh Widdicombe about Plymouth Argyle on Twitter at the moment, and he talks to some of the old fans there, and they used to have a zoo behind one of the behind one of the stands.
That's
and there's
brilliant.
A story of a penalty going over and it going silent and you suddenly hearing
Oh, that is marvellous. Steve says, hi Max, can I say a big hello to goalkeeper Neville Southall, a goalie great, my hero, who I got to meet and got him to sign my Bob Wilson autobiography. Why would you take
someone else's autobiography?
Why would you take your Bob Wilson autobiography?
Top bit of trolling, isn't it? Top bit of trolling.
Isn't that right?
Hi Neville, can you sign my Gary Bailey book?
It's like people should ring up. You should ring up Drive and just say, I love breakfast. That's what you should do.
Hello to Maddie Hinch, the Olympic gold hockey goalie.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rush and Charlie Baker with you until four. On the subject of misses that haunt you, Swiss Tony Gillam up in Newcastle says,
This is a lovely one. We played
in the Northumberland Saturday League. Had the joy of playing twice a year against Acklington Prison during a game I was played through. I took a shot which did bobble, he says in capitals, and it flew straight over the 60-foot prison fence that surrounded the pitch. There was an immediate shout from each of the 200 inmates that flanked the pitch of, I'll get it. The miss gets brought up on a nearly weekly basis. Keep those coming, please. Very pleased to say, joining us in the studio now, Max Chilton, IndyCar racer, formerly in an F1 as well. Max, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you for having me.
Total pleasure. We were learning about IndyCar
all sorts.
In the break just then.
In the 2 minutes we met you, we learned more than we'd ever known in our lives. So
good. That's what we want.
Nice to have you here.
When is the season? You know, when do you go back?
So I'm heading out there on Monday for the last official test of the year, and then the first race of the season is the following weekend in St. Petersburg in Florida. We have quite a unique calendar. F1's obviously stretched out with 21 races or whatever the number they have now. Ours is 16, but very tightly compact. Basically, they try and fit it in the NFL off-season.
Right, okay.
Because NFL's so big in America. If they've got an NFL game, no one's going to be watching us. So we try and cram as many as we can in. And our biggest race of the year is the Indianapolis 500. So it's all a build-up to that one race, which Fernando Alonso is coming back this year to do. So he's desperately trying to get the Triple Crown. No one's done it in our generation. And he's probably the best man to have a go at it. But this is the hardest one to get because there's 33 cars.
Nice bloke.
He's always been a pleasure to me. He's very very honest and open, and he's always a pleasure to chat to. You can always have a good conversation with him.
Is there that kind of, you know, obviously rivals, but you're doing this very specific thing that not many people know about. Is there a sort of dressing room, like a locker room, mentality?
Is it like being a jockey almost?
Yeah, kind of thing.
We're never not in a changing room, for example, but it's coming from Formula One to IndyCar, it's been a pleasure because in F1, it's very cutthroat.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to try and act like your teammate's your best friend, but realistically, they're the one you've got to beat. Because in Formula One, everyone's got a different car, or the different teams have different cars. So it's hard to compare yourself to another driver in a different car. So you've really got to beat one man, and that's your teammate. Within IndyCar, you work with your teammates to make the team as good as possible. Okay. And half the time, we're in the middle of the Midwest, and we've got nowhere to go at night. So we've got our motorhomes, and all the friends and the families, the wives, we all chill out having barbecues together. You know, it's just really social, and every driver generally are friends, which is a bit of a change from Formula One.
But the cars, presumably different teams have, it's similar to Formula One, and the cars are different as well, right? Everyone is driving the same thing, because that's often a criticism of Formula One, is how can you tell who's good, because...
Yeah, 100%.
You know, you're in a Mercedes and I'm in a Micro Machine, you know?
Yeah, IndyCar is a one-make category, so everyone's got a Dallara, which is an Italian chassis. The only difference is there's a Chevrolet engine or a Honda engine. Again, there's maybe 1 or 2 tenths a lap difference, and sometimes it favours one manufacturer over the other, which makes it very hard to predict who's going to win. You wouldn't bet an IndyCar who's going to win.
Yeah.
Obviously, in Formula One, you'd take a good punt that Lewis
is
going to win.
And it's lapped, isn't it? It's a loop, isn't it?
We have road races, street races, and ovals.
Fantastic.
And the Indianapolis is obviously an oval. That's a 500 mile race.
Yeah.
That's 200 laps of a 2.5 mile oval. So that's like going from London to Land's End and back in just over 2 hours. That's the speed we're going. And because obviously TalkSport's a big football, the best way of putting that is we do the length of a football pitch in 1 second. That's how fast we're going. So it's pretty intense.
It's quite like me. Yeah.
I had a Formula One driver, and I forget who it was. I was doing this show with Andy Jacobs, who you met, and I asked the driver, do you ever mid-race zone out and start thinking about your shopping or your love life or something? And Andy looked at me like I'd asked the stupidest question. And then somebody sent me a genuine Alan Partridge script, and he has asked and that question. Is that bad? But I would repeat the question.
Yes.
Mid-race.
The answer is yes.
Do you wish there was a services halfway around? Perhaps they could build that into it.
I think some drivers have needed services. James Hinchcliffe last year openly admitted on air that he had to pee himself because the race went on for so long. So
I didn't mean for that. Perhaps they could build it into the race that you have to stop. They give you a shopping list of what you've got to buy from the shop. On the way, halfway around, you've got to get a Ginster's pasty, a Lucozade, and some minstrels. And you have to go in and get that and then get back in the car. And it could make it interesting.
It would make it interesting.
Put that forward, or?
I know the early years in Formula E, the batches didn't last the full length of the race.
So they had
to come in and change from one car to the other. So it made it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
So what do you think about then? Well, I mean,
Formula E?
Yeah, when you're when you are zoning out, what?
And when you're driving. Oh, I see. Yeah, when you're driving.
Back to the Alan Partridge. But yeah. Zoning out, it has happened. 100% I do it. You know, every time I'm in the car, you occasionally zone out. Like you guys, you present this and you're so used to presenting it. Yeah. You're probably asking questions whilst thinking about what you've got to do to get before you get home. Mm, so yeah. It's sort of like any professional career. You're so used to what you're doing. Sometimes it's sort of just muscle memory.
When did you find you had the correct twitch muscles and correct reactions to be able to drive very, very fast?
I don't know if I still found that out yet.
Yeah. Did you kart as a kid? That's normally how young people start.
Yeah, I'd say 95% of people in Formula One started in go-kart. So I started when I was 8, which actually is weirdly quite old.
Yeah.
A lot of people started when they're 3 or 4 in things called Bambino karts. You can't officially race at that age, but there are people out practicing at that age. Lewis is out practicing at that age. So yeah, I've done it for over 20 years of my life. So it just feels like second nature. But it's very quickly hits you sometimes when you're daydreaming how quickly it's gone wrong. Because when we're doing speeds of 240 miles an hour, if you're not, you know, in the zone looking a mile ahead and you're thinking about something else, it very quickly can make you realise how quick you're going.
Can you describe what it's like to go that fast? Like the kind of, especially when you are so close to another car, you're trying to overtake, because it's very few of us have done it.
Yeah. So when we're doing 240 miles an hour, there's this huge thing called slipstream where the car in front of you is punching a hole through the air. So you very quickly suck up behind them. You're flat out, they're flat out, but you're going a lot quicker than them.
Like cycling, they do that as well, don't they?
Yeah,
cycling, they'll sit in
thing.
Behind you.
But to get to speeds of 240 miles an hour, we basically have to take all the downforce off our car, but we also have to get through a corner. So it gets very twitchy through the corner. So if you're too close in the corner, you're going to spin out. Right. So there's this, it's all about timing. Dario Franchitti, who's won the Indy 500 3 times, he taught me you've basically got to back off halfway along the straight. And then when you get to the entrance to the corner, that's when you want to go full throttle. So you build your speed up through the corner. And hopefully as you enter the straight, you're in the area where you've got enough speed to overtake them just before the next corner. But that timing takes years of practice to get perfect.
You know, they say footballers and cricketers, it slows down for them. The great players look like they've got more time, more and more time. Does it happen like that when you see an overtaking opportunity? Do you think, oh, are you seeing that a few moves ahead? Or
yeah.
Does it slow down, time slow down for you?
Especially at Indianapolis, we do 2.5 miles in 40 seconds. Right, you're planning sometimes an overtake for 3 laps ahead of yourself. Yeah. So that's sort of 7.5 miles where you're planning your overtake, because it takes so long to get in the sweet spot of dragging up to them. Because if you get too close to them in the corner, you're going to lose your front end and you're going to drift up towards the wall. And so the wall's pretty scary at that speed. So.
And the fitness you need. Because when you see drivers get out, I mean, they're just...
Drenched, aren't they?
Drenched.
Yeah.
I mean, after a race, are you completely finished?
Yeah, it's that's the thing. A lot of people think, well, you just sat in a chair. How you're not doing a huge amount of movement. How's it that hard? Well, the hardest race I probably ever had to do was the Singapore Grand Prix in Formula One, because it's a hot place, Singapore, but at night, humidity goes up. Street races, there's very little airflow. It also, because it was a street race, your average speed is slower, so it takes a long time to do the race. It took 2 hours. I wore a heart rate belt, and it never dropped 180 beats for 2 hours. And I lost 3.5 kilos in sweat, and that was with drinking a litre of my Camel Pack during the race. So it's highly, highly physical. Your heart rate goes up probably 20, 30 beats with concentration. Then you're hitting the brake pedal like you're doing a one-leg squat 20 times a lap for a whole race distance. It really quickly catches up, and then you've got the heat of having loads of layers of fireproof overalls.
Yesterday we had an author on, a journalist, Kevin Eason, he'd written the foreword, the introduction and the postscript to the Niki Lauda autobiography. And obviously he talks about Niki Lauda's accident. I just wonder how much fear you have, or how much awareness of just how dangerous it is.
Yeah, it's definitely dangerous. Motorsport's dangerous. We're going highly fast. I personally don't think it's any worse than playing rugby or riding a horse.
Yeah.
At least we've got a really strong protective shell around us. But yeah, once you put the helmet on, you've got to sort of ignore that fact. Unless you're going for a really stupid manoeuvre at 240 miles an hour, which could go wrong, that's when you've got to sort of think about it. But
you've got to trust the other drivers as well, right?
A lot of it is trust on other drivers, and there's certain ones you're very wary of compared to others. There's others where they know you're there and they just pinch you in, and it's going to end in disaster for both of you. So I don't really know why they do it, but it's sort of that Senna attitude. If there's a gap, you've got to go for it.
And you must have spun off the track. You must have had crashes of sorts.
Yeah, touch wood. I've had some big ones, but not horrendous. Yeah. So
and when they are happening, what on earth is that like?
It's not nice. I've got this natural ability. Once you're fully out of control and there's no stopping, I just grab both my seatbelts, shut my eyes and you know, hope for the best. Some drivers hold the wheel, which I think you've got a big chance of snapping your wrist when it ends up hitting something hard.
Yeah.
Keeping your eyes open, it's like watching, you know, a train come towards you. Well, why would you do it? You just shut your eyes and, you know, hope for the best. So,
yeah.
Now, in the break, you said there was a football question.
Yeah, there is a football question.
So, is this trivia for us?
Yeah. No, it's sort of blaming you, basically. A good friend of mine.
I like this sort of question. Go on, Max.
A good friend of mine, Harrison Dunk, who plays for Cambridge FC, he's been there for 9 years and he's saying that he's never seen you down at the Abbey. He wants to know when you're going to turn up.
I love this, Max.
He's a good player. He's got a good left foot, Harrison. Though.
Yeah, you've seen it on the telly, have you?
Yeah, well, I just see the clips on the Sky app. No, look, he is right. I'm a bit of a plastic use fan because...
As he will know,
Charlie Shush, as he will know, I'm still playing at a very high level myself. Polytechnic Fours in the Southern Amateur League Intermediate Division 4. We've got a doubleheader away at City of London tomorrow.
Okay.
This is the equivalent in your world, Max, of going and playing in the Dodgems at the fairground.
But it still means something to me. He's right. April the 13th, I'm there for the Port Vale game.
Okay. Probably on a freebie, is it?
Bank
freebie?
Holiday Monday.
Freebie.
I'm doing some filming. Yes, Charlie. I've got the history in the bank before he was a young lad.
I know Harrison's listening, so you know there Harrison, he'll be there on the 13th.
Perhaps we can get him on.
Listen, doing well now. We had four wins in a row, then we drew at Plymouth. So thank him for doing well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Charlie Baker with you until 4. Brought to you with Green King for the biggest screens and atmosphere you can't get at home. Green King is your home of pub sport. In the next hour of the show, Todd Macklin's US Sport Roundup. We've got a clip to the week special. And we talked to Nigel Botherway about the tiny fish that John Terry caught. Find out if that's a good thing to catch or not. I mean, it seems like it might be harder to get a smaller fish. We will find out.
Do you want the Grizovic news now?
Yes. Before the break, we exclusively said we'd reveal the age at which Steve Grizovic retired from football.
And we are. So in 1977, he started his career at Chesterfield.
Yes.
Mm. And he played at Liverpool and then Shrewsbury Town and then Coventry City, where he played 507 games, mm-hmm. one goal.
Yes.
Exciting, isn't it? 43. He was 43 when he retired. But this is my favourite Steve Grizovic fact. That's what I'll go for. Thing I was going to go for here, but there we went for fact. This is in 2003. Grizovic was the subject of a hoax that said he had been kidnapped in Kazakhstan.
Right.
And an online petition was set up in campaign to get him released. This was proved to be false when the Coventry Evening Telegraph interviewed him at Coventry City's training ground at Wrighton on Dunsmore. So. hoax, the Steven Grzinic hoax. Was it Martin Kellner joins us?
He does. Yes, indeed.
And to give us more Steven Grzinic news.
It would be a great TV show if they make it and you could review it. Martin, lovely to see you.
And you too.
What have you been watching?
Well, I watched both episodes of Harry Redknapp's Sandback Summer.
Oh, I haven't seen
now,
it yet.
Now, it would be very easy to sneer at this. And normally, I'm the man who takes the easy route. So normally, of course, I would be sneering. But he's so likeable, Harry Redknapp. And Sandra and all that. And it's, you know, you just cannot dislike Harry Redknapp. However, Sandbanks, right, it's 15 houses apparently, or as he says, 15 houses houses on that little bit of sand there. Cost a fortune, obviously, and it's like a monument to bad taste. It's a monument, not just a bad taste, but appalling taste. And they go around a shipyard, and they're building...
So what's the premise of the show?
There is no premise of the show.
Harry in Sandbanks.
Yeah, basically the premise of the show is Harry won the jungle show, and he came over as a very likable personality. People liked him. Somebody's done some, you know, what they do, surveys. The guys, do the viewers like Harry Redknapp? Yeah, they like Harry Redknapp. What can we do with Harry Redknapp?
So they pitched a load of shows and it's just him where he lives.
Yes, it's exactly that. It's Harry Redknapp where he lives with Sandra. Make us a cup of tea, Sandra. Yeah, no problem. So make us a cup of tea. And obviously, I mean, it's a great story because they show you little stills of him when he was growing up in Stepney Green and all that. And there's one goal that he scored for West Ham that they show you. They always show you that clip.
Yeah.
So it's fun, basically. But what annoys me about it is they keep playing like 5 seconds of a well-known pop song. You know, different ones.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of one of the ones. But they're all hits. It's like Virgin Radio, except they only play about 5 seconds.
Okay.
And so they're all...
Like Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah, a bit like... Do you know whether it just comes in a little bit of a song? And that's a little bit frustrating. But anyway, the first one... it was, and if Harry's not likeable enough for you, what about Harry plus Joe Pasquale plus Razor Rudder?
Oh,
there's
that.
A show,
lovely.
Isn't it? Eh?
And that's just a day he happened to be having that day.
Correct.
Coincidence.
He invites people down to his lovely home in Sandbanks, and they go around and do stuff.
Right.
Basically, they went to Corfe Castle in one of them. I think it was that one. No, they went to the Bournemouth Air Festival.
That's nice.
Razor Rudder's got a big black car with his name on the side of it. I didn't know they still did that. When I started in commercial radio back in the 1930s, we, you know, you'd always get the star DJ on the station. And I remember, I won't give his name out, he's no longer with us, but it was sort of like Charlie Spriggs drives a Skoda from Apple Yards of Sheffield was on the side of his car, on both sides of his car. And he got banned from driving within about 3 days of picking up his free car from Apple Yards of Sheffield or whatever it was. And I always thought it'd be nice if they put the, you know, little signage on the side of the car. Charlie Spriggs got banned in a car from, you know, so it's got a bit of poke, this car. Yeah. You can get banned in it. So it's basically it's a combination of the Harry Redknapp thing and the lives of the super rich, because they go around this shipyard and they're building a £20 million yacht for Eddie Jordan, and it comes with its own nightclub. Why would you want a nightclub on a yacht? I mean, but it's just people who have too much money. Mm. A bit like you two, actually. People who've got too much money, what are they going to spend it on?
When they do you think Eddie Jordan's sitting there behind the decks going, another quiet night, no one's in. You're in the middle of the ocean, Eddie. No one can queue.
Ridiculous.
That's tremendous. Ridiculous. Isn't it? You're right. But Harry is, anyone who's met him, he is infectious, right? He's a lovely bloke.
It's good telly.
Entertainment.
And in the second one, if he's not like enough, his two mates who come down and join him, so that's the premise every week, were John Barnes and Chris Kamara.
Okay, great.
Two more likeable chaps, and like I say, they don't do very much. They sort of walk around and look at stuff and laugh. You know, there's Chris Kamara laughs all the time, everything. So it's all about
what is it they're talking. Oh, that's one of the other episodes, is it? Barnes and Kamara.
One of the episodes. They take Razor when Razor's in the first one, and this is the thing about reality TV. Razor Ruddock, I've seen him on all those shows where they try and get fit.
Yeah.
You know, so they get Razor Ruddock and he goes on a diet and he's on the exercise bike. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, Full English. Harry's Full English, it was called.
Was it?
When he joined the football. Harry's Heroes, but they called it Harry's Full English. Yeah. It's about all those football players losing loads of weight.
Right. It's not worked.
Oh.
Not for Razor.
Oh, dear.
Not for Razor. We have a shot of Razor where he's in the water there, just off Sandbanks.
Oh yeah,
with a full builder's cleavage.
Lovely.
Is Harry trying to get him fit?
That would be too much of a high concept.
That's a production.
Harry,
isn't it?
Harry shouts at him, says, "Oh blimey, Razor, it's not Southend," and that's about it. And they show him round a flat. There's a flat for sale there for $5 million.
Okay, right, yeah.
Father, if you're interested, $5 million. This flat.
For a flat?
It's a flat, right, yeah. But it's very swish, obviously, okay. And they
but
show Razor.
If it's swish, then it, you know, well, I can see it. Okay,
swish, and it's Sandbanks. Lovely. And the amazing thing about Sandbanks is you've got these super houses. Jeff Bezos doesn't own any of them, which is, you know, the only bit of sort of prime real estate that Jeff Bezos doesn't own.
No Babbacum, though, is it? It's no Babbacum.
Well, you may very well say that.
What else has been on the agenda?
I'll tell you what I thought was quite interesting. That was Council TV, obviously ITV. Mm-hmm. I've also been watching Amazon Prime, two documentaries on there, both about Liverpool. But I thought it was quite, as Liverpool now are, let's be honest, you know, they're heading for the title after they had that lucky win against West Ham on Monday. But they're heading for the title. Where's it? You know, the history of Liverpool is very interesting. And there was a program called Making Shankly, which I've seen it before, but it's on Amazon Prime now, and it's a documentary about Bill Shankly. I was thinking, you know, we always think of Bill Shankly as very old school, but he was the guy who Stephen Doney's called, who's the director of the LFC Museum. Says that he was a moderniser, and he's the father to everything that happens now at Liverpool. And he's sort of, because when he went there, Liverpool were languishing in Division Two as it was in those days, right. And the training facilities were rubbish. It was a bit like West Ham in that respect, but the training facilities weren't that great and everything. And he came in and called it a toilet. Bill Shankly said, "It's a toilet. Oh. We've got to get this place cleaned up and everything, and got to put systems in place." And he was a tracksuit manager, which was so unusual. If you ever see shots of, you know, Herbert Chapman and those guys, they're guys in suits. They're not in tracksuits.
He was the first one to actually get out
there.
Yeah,
precisely. And, you know, they just bring it all stemmed from Bill Shankly. And it goes back to the pit town that he was born and brought up in. And it's an interesting documentary. I would recommend it to any Liverpool fans because it's sort of where Liverpool started as a special club.
Right. And the DNA began.
The DNA absolutely began there. The other thing I watched was Make Us Dream, a documentary about Steven Gerrard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good documentary.
It's a good one, yeah, on Amazon, yeah.
Because there are a lot of rubbish documentaries on Amazon. Mm. A lot of them that, because they've got so much association, you know, like the Manchester City one, where the team itself is basically a PR stunt.
Yeah, I found that with the Leeds one. I had to review it for the paper.
Take Us Home.
And I only saw the first two episodes, but you spent more time with Calvin Phillips' granny than with Marcelo Bielsa, and you really wanted to see Bielsa. You know, it was all about Bielsa, and you never get in the dressing room. And obviously, you can understand why you don't get in the dressing room, but that's, you want warts and all with those things.
You do. I mean, sometimes you can watch it if you're a supporter. You'll watch anything, basically.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's very few that, I mean, Sunderland Till I Die is the
best.
Well,
you want disaster, right?
Yeah, that's the best one to watch, just from a neutral's point of view. The other thing is, as regular listeners will know, one of my main hobbies is pedantry.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's shocking. I'm a shocking pedant. But I'd just like to point out to Jake Humphrey, I was watching the United match last night when Ighalo scored for United. And he, in the halftime chat, sort of suggested that Lagos is the capital of Nigeria. It's not been the capital of Nigeria since 1991.
Oh, come on, Jake.
Come on, Jake.
Come on.
Precisely. So I did want to point that out.
What is the capital of Nigeria now?
Abuja. Since 1991.
Excellent.
So come on, Jake.
Sorted out, Jake.
Yeah, well, he used to be a Blue Peter presenter.
He should know that.
You should know all those things.
I didn't have to do, I had a successful audition to be a Blue Peter presenter.
Oh, did you?
On the same day I was offered Soccer AM, and I took Soccer AM. And I didn't have to learn capital cities, but I did have to learn the history of Lagos. Go and
Danish,
and how to fire a super soaker water pistol. So there you are.
Wow, so in an alternative reality, it's like Sliding Doors.
I'd be hosting
it?
The one show right now.
It would be.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Todd Macklin's a roundup of the best stories from across the pond. Todd, how are you doing?
Max, Charlie, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, really good. And I am very excited by the headline of story number one.
The first story looks the best story I've seen in a while.
NFL player eats 72-ounce steak in under an hour.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, Bradley Bozeman is an offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens, and he was going across the country on kind of a speaking expedition. And so he ends up at a restaurant, and they've got this steak challenge. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd. There's a scene in there where he has to eat the steak of the house. And if you do it in under an hour, you basically get a T-shirt and everyone's in awe of you. Well, Bradley decided to do that in this restaurant. As you said, 72-ounce steak, a shrimp cocktail, a baked potato, and a salad.
You get a drink. Sorry, have you allowed any liquid?
And a butter roll, yeah.
Yeah, and a butter roll. Thank you. Yes, because we know how much, right? Those rolls are like sugar.
But don't fill up on bread early. Don't fill up on bread.
Absolutely. You got to pace yourself. So he decided to take the challenge. He did it in under an hour. I think it was 50 minutes, 50 minutes he did all of this in. He said when he got to about 2 ounces left, so his wife was filming all this. So when he got to about, they announced, yeah, you've got 2 ounces left. He told her to turn off the camera because he thought he was going to be sick. But he did actually plow through and did eat the whole thing. So remember, this is a professional athlete. And so he got his meal free. It would have cost him $72 if he wasn't able to finish in under an hour. So basically he said he did this to save the $72 and he makes millions. But, congratulations to Bradley. I stick with my whatever 8 to 10 ounce steak.
Wait, it's 72, about
72. I couldn't even think.
Yeah, just over 2 kilos, I think. If you think that's four packets of mince. Do we know if it was? Yeah. Do we know the cut of the steak? Because a T-bone, there's a lot of bone there. But if it was 2 kilos of fillet, that is a different matter altogether. It's pure meat, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's what it was because he said when they brought it out to him, it was just like he described it just like a huge slab of meat. So
it's like a plate, yeah, a plate, isn't it?
A plate, yeah. And what they do too is when someone takes the challenge, they put them on this elevated table in the restaurant so everyone can kind of watch this. So it's not just that you have to finish it, it's everyone in the whole restaurant is watching to see if you finish it.
Now that kind of links in with the next story, which is about a college player trying to get in the draft, putting on a whole lot of weight.
Yeah, so his name is Ben Bartsch. So guys, he's playing what's called Division III college football. It's the third rung of college football, not even at the top.
Okay.
And a few years ago, he had the dream of playing in the NFL, but he was too small. He's only about 255 pounds. And so he was a good blocker, and some coaches said, well, you know what? You could maybe make it in the NFL. You could have a chance to be drafted. You need to put on some weight. So he decided he needed to put on about 60 pounds, over 4 stone. And so this is what he ate every day, guys, every day. So 7 scrambled eggs, a big tub of cottage cheese, quick grits, which is a dish made with cornmeal, peanut butter, a banana, and he washed it down with Gatorade. So, guys, he would put this all in a blender and, one of these protein drinks and drink it every single day. He said there were times that, he was nauseous. He was gagging while trying to put this down. Well, guys, he put on the weight, and he has gone from a Division III guy that no one had ever heard of to a guy now that we're talking about on Talk Sport on Friday.
Why would,
ahead of the draft. This is a guy being talked about that he has the possibility that he could be drafted in the NFL. So
why would you scramble the eggs before you put them in? I said like breaking a raw egg in a smoothie. Don't scramble it first.
He said, listen, he doesn't know a lot, about nutrition. About everything he learned on the
internet. Don't say.
And so he's taking everything literally, right? He's just thinking scrambled eggs and then I'll put them in the blender, right? So he's also said, listen, if I can get on an NFL team, they obviously have professionals that deal with nutrition and, he can get on a better program. But for now, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And again, there's going to be some of your listeners that are going to watch the draft. The NFL draft is in April. So Ben Barch.
Ben Barch.
Remember that name.
That sounds like what he did after he'd eaten too many of those.
I was going to say. Right, now I've heard this hockey story is fascinating, isn't it? This is about emergency goalkeepers. It's an interesting rule, isn't it? Explain how it works. Explain what happened.
So each ice hockey team has two goalies. That's what they have. They don't have a third goalie. So when they're playing a game, if one team, both of their goalies gets injured, there's what's called an emergency goalie. So the home team provides an emergency goalie in those situations. Now, guys, only two times in the history of the National Hockey League, over 100 years, have they ever needed the emergency goalie. But they needed it a third time this past Saturday in Toronto because the Carolina Hurricanes, both their goalies got injured in the game. So this emergency goalie, who's from Toronto, guys, this guy actually is the practice goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who the Hurricanes were playing that night. So he comes in, lets it. So the Hurricanes are up 4-1. He lets in goals on the first two shots he's faced. So then it's 4-3 for Carolina. Well, they actually hung on to win. They won it 6-3. And this guy got the win against the team that he's their practice goalie for. So this guy has become an absolute celebrity. The last few days, this guy has done more interviews than I think he's ever done in his whole life. And it's crazy because this guy drives the Zamboni. If you've ever watched a hockey game, the Zamboni kind of clears the ice. You know, in the intermissions between the periods.
Like a water carrier getting on and playing. Yes.
Yes. He's also 42 years old, right? So this is a guy who's played hockey his whole life, but not at any other level, that, you know, got his shot. And ended up winning the game. So it's an amazing story, but the league is probably going to change the rules in that the emergency goalie is probably going to be younger. They're probably going to put a cap that he's got to be, you know, 30 years old or younger.
Shame.
And he's got to have some experience, I think, is the other thing. You know, whether it's college or, you know, some minor league experience, because this guy did not have any.
This is an Adam Sandler movie waiting to happen.
you know what? That is absolutely correct. People are talking about
you're
the movie.
So right.
It has to become a movie. And you're right, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is making this film as we speak.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
That was the pod. I thought you were marvellous, Charlie.
It's been a lovely week, Max. I'll see you tomorrow morning for the game day warm-up.
I'm finishing it how Marty finished the section. I'm just switching off.
Just writing something down.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.